The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Stevie Neal. Kind of a last week of school vibe at the moment, you kind of feel amongst everybody.
Oh.
It's the last week that Karim Benzema could be at Madrid because Julian Laurent reporting that he could be on his way to Saudi Arabia. What about this for an offer? 400 million euros for a two-year deal. Of course, the winner of the Ballon d'Or back in 2022. Missed quite a bit of the season for Real Madrid with injuries. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Frank LeBeuf is with us. Mark Ogden also joins us. Mark, there seems to be some real truth in this story.
It's a surprise that Saudi Arabia are looking to kind of gatecrash the transfer market this summer. What I was told a couple of months ago is that they're looking to sign up to 50 players from Europe's big five leagues, players that are out of contract like Benzema. So people like Firmino at Liverpool, people like Yerimino at Everton, I think Adama Traore has been mentioned at Wolves as well. Players that are big names, but players that may be towards it, not the end of their career in Europe, but are maybe willing to try the opportunity to play in Saudi Arabia. They're looking at players from South America, from Southern Europe, from Africa. I think all the players that we've mentioned tip the bill, and Benzema obviously is top of the list. I think Sergio Busquets is another one. So watch out, basically, the big leagues in Europe, because the Saudi Arabians are going to come and try and tempt away these big players with fantastic offers of fantastic money. Ronaldo's already there. Looks like Lionel Messi will go there as well. So I think the idea that Saudi Arabia have is that they want to make the Saudi Arabian Premier League the go-to league outside of the big five leagues. I think they realise it's not going to compete with the Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, but they want it to be the next best thing after, you know, ahead of the MLS, ahead of maybe the Qatari League or the Chinese League. The Saudi League wants to be the place to go after Europe.
What would you do, Frank?
Well, personally, I would go. 400 million, are you crazy or what? But if I'm Benzema, I think I have enough money to enjoy my life until my last day and to secure all my family and siblings. And I still want to play. And I talked about Messi last time. I was on the show saying that some players can go because they feel that they can't give what they used to give. But maybe Karim Benzema feels that he can give one more year. I think he's been offered another year for Real Madrid. But yeah, there's a big temptation, and I understand if he goes. But I mean, Mark just said that Saudi Arabia wants to get like 50 players, players who feel that they're almost at the end of their career. I mean, it's been done in Japan, it's been done in Qatar, and Qatar tried something like that, and it never worked. Because yeah, it can work for some players against one retire, but it doesn't make that you're going to make the league, one of the biggest league in the world, in Europe, in South America. Yes, you can have all the players that you want because you have history. And that's the difference between Europe, South America again, and the Middle East, and maybe some countries in Asia.
How hard should Real Madrid fight to keep him?
You know what? It's an interesting question, Dan. That's a very good one. I don't know that you fight all that hard if you have a plan in place. If you have an option that you're really falling in love with and it's realistic for you, and you don't have to deal with the question that would come up, well, what do you do with Benzema? Well, this situation may have just resolved itself because if Benzema takes this offer, now it leaves a big, huge hole that you're going to address and a need that you're going to address. And then it gives you the, I think, built-in excuse to say, well, if Benzema is going to Saudi Arabia, we're going to go and spend our money in our big target, whoever that big target may be. But you have to have this lined up correctly.
Right.
Before you start making any sort of declaration and anything in public or any sort of statement, you need to have some sort of negotiation with whoever that big target has been. So that's
halfway there already before you start saying to Benzema, you know what, if you want to go, go. I don't think you take that chance just yet because of how important Karim Benzema has been for Real Madrid, particularly over the last couple of seasons. He is their most important player, their most critical piece. If he's not available, we see how different this team has been. And so unless you have a player coming in that you're satisfied with, I don't think you take this step just yet.
It seems impossible to me that a club like Real Madrid have not, over the last couple of years, been looking at targets and thinking ahead.
Right.
Because they have to. That's how they have to work. And Benzema himself and the club, at 35 years of age, and having been picking up these injuries, that somebody of his age picks up at that level of football. It's because of the level. Your body's trying to tell you something. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to fix it and he's going to have a clear season next year. He better get used to missing games. Mm. And Real Madrid need to make sure that they have somebody coming in regardless, because he will miss games next year if he stays.
I wonder who could possibly come in and... I was going to do my link, Frank, and then you interrupted me.
Sorry about that last time.
But be good.
Stevie, I want to know, who can be the target? You know, you don't have too many targets. I mean,
well,
you
that's
can
where
plan
I'm
anything,
going, Frank. If you know, let me finish my incredibly brilliant stay-up, it would be
wrong.
Fine.
You're taming, Frank.
Harry Kane. Let's go. There we go. Right. In the back pages of the newspapers, suggestions that Daniel Levy will not sell Harry Kane to Manchester United, but may be persuaded to sell him abroad. Now, which club might need a striker if their French international goes to Saudi Arabia? Mark Ogden, Harry Kane to Real Madrid. We got there.
Yeah, I mean, look, it makes sense in a lot of ways, doesn't it? And it solves Daniel Levy's problem in the sense that he wouldn't be going to Manchester United. But we all know that Harry Kane is desperate to break Alan Shearer's record for Premier League goals, and he's not going to do that playing for Real Madrid. But
oh my God.
I agree. I can hear Stevie's groan. But he might want to win a European Cup, or he might want to win a Liga. If I was Harry Kane, I would put the goal record aside to win some massive trophies. But he might not be wired up that way. He might not want to do that. He might want to stay in the Premier League and get a goals record, which may be broken in 10, 20 years. Certainly Erling Haaland sticks around. So, yes, Harry Kane, Real Madrid makes a lot of sense. But there are different moving parts in this. And I think on the Man United equation, Daniel Levy doesn't want to sell to Man United. Well, we've been saying for months now that Man United are very reluctant to get involved with Harry Kane and Tottenham because they know exactly how it's going to play out. Daniel Levy will make them sweat, he'll make them wait, and he'll mess them around. And United need a striker in like yesterday, not on the 31st of August. So if he can get him to move to Real Madrid, then it suits everybody, and it would suit Harry Kane, unless he wants to stay and break Alan Shearer's goals record.
Can you believe, Stevie, this is even a debate?
No. Hold on. I'll go to Real Madrid and I can win the Champions League, or I'll get a goals record. No. It's not even close in my eyes.
Well, but it shouldn't be.
No.
It shouldn't be a discussion. If this is a real possibility for Harry Kane and his only argument against it is the goal scoring record, then I think, for me anyway, it changes my perception of Harry Kane as a whole. It's just, if this is what you're paying attention to, the goal scoring record, as opposed to taking this big jump, and it would be a big jump to be in Real Madrid, and stylistically, it would make sense because he's a similar player to some of the things that Karim Benzema does for this team. And it would fit in perfectly into Real Madrid and his needs and wants as a player. If that's not enough for him, and the only thing that he has saying to stay as Spurs is, or to say the Premier League, or whatever the case may be, is, you know what, I like this goal record better than the opportunity to have team glory, the opportunity to achieve really big, big, significant things in the European stage. I don't know, Harry Kane. I think, in my opinion, I think he falls down a level as a player when you make that sort of decision.
Frank?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's kind of a joke, what I hear, you know. It's not even a discussion. You have Real Madrid, where you feel that something is happening. Maybe Benzema's going, so it's a big opportunity. You feel that Jude Bellingham can come and play alongside Camavinga and some fantastic player like Valverde. And you feel that they're going to have a squad like the time where they were winning like three or four times in a row the Champions League. and where we, you felt that they were already the best team in the world. And the kind of award of scoring the most goal in the Premier League and beating Alan Shearer. I mean, there is no comparison. You want to fill up your resume as a football player, or you just want to score goals like for your individual pride? Well, I know where I will go, and I with Ali. If Harry can see that way, which I don't think he is, I would be very disappointed. And I think that will be the first question I will ask him next week. Tell us, really, are you trying to find a club in England because you want to beat that record, or it's something else? Please tell me it's something else.
Will he fit up to Real Madrid, Steve?
Absolutely no danger. Every single thing Ali said, I agree with. The way he plays the game, he scores goals and he comes short and links play.
Yeah.
Guess who does that? A guy called Benzema, who's at Real Madrid. It's perfect for him.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Go on, Mark.
I'm just going to say, I think if Harry Kane had won a major trophy by now, I don't think the goals record would have been that big a deal. I think it's almost like he's become conditioned to not winning anything at Tottenham. So the only thing he can achieve is this goals record, which, like the guys say, it doesn't really matter. It's, when he retires in 10, 20 years, he might look at this goals record and it's still be there. It might not be, and he'll have no medals to show for it. You know, Alan Shearer, as great as he was, he won one Premier League. That's all he ever won. But he got the goals record for the Premier League. But I'm not being funny, but that isn't really that big a deal. It's a big deal in the here and now, but historically it's not. And I think, speak to players who won multiple medals, you know, the guys that won titles at Man United or Man City that have got a stack full of medals. They don't care who scored the goals. They just care who won the trophies, and that's them. And I think Kane probably needs to win a trophy to realise that a goals record, an individual record, is not that big a deal when you measure it against trophies.
Meanwhile, is there any chance you'd go anywhere else in England, Mark? Obviously, Chelsea, striker. What are the chances?
Well, I mean, his options are really limited because Chelsea, as we know, Tottenham and Chelsea are massive rivals, but there's a Pochettino element. But I think going to Chelsea right now would be a bad move considering the state they're in and the state of flux they're in. Arsenal need a striker, but again, is he going to leave Tottenham for Arsenal? No, because it's a really difficult move to make. So, you know, Man City have got a lot of money to spend. Can you imagine Man City having Haaland and Kane up front? It sounds ridiculous, but they only spent about, you know, £50-60 million last summer. So they've got money to spend. Imagine if Kane moved to City with Haaland. What a forward line that would be.
Well, Chelsea, of course, confirmed Pochettino yesterday, Mark. Why did it take so long? Was he looking for assurances?
Well, do you know what's really strange about this one? That Pochettino was announced by Chelsea yesterday and there was no quotes from Mauricio Pochettino in the statement, no pictures of Mauricio Pochettino lifting a scarf at Stamford Bridge or saying what his big plan is. Now, he's not starting until July the 1st, which suggests to me there's some kind of clause hanging out from PSG in the sense of his severance pay. It might not be at work until the 1st
of
July.
Wait, Mark, he's not starting until July the 1st?
No, exactly. It's ridiculous. This is what happened with David Moyes at Man United. He waited until July the 1st. Six crucial weeks were wasted. Now, Pochettino should be in there now, or yesterday, sorting his squad. He's got about 35 players, but he doesn't start till July the 1st, which is a nonsense. So, you look at that statement yesterday, Chelsea proud to announce Mauricio Pochettino, new coach, not a single word from Pochettino. I've never known a club announce a manager, the new manager, without him being quoted or pictured. There's nothing there. So, why it's taken so long, they were adamant for the last 2 or 3 weeks that they wanted Lampard to see out the season, despite the fact that they were going nowhere. Whether it's because they wanted a clean slate and Pochettino not to be tarnished by the end of the season. But I just think they're overthinking it. Just let him start the job so he can get on with the massive job that's in front of him. But then, like I say, he's not been quoted in the press release. Very strange.
Frank, are you happy?
No, why I would be happy? I would be happy when I would see the results, you know. We've seen many, many coaches coming. And if Pochettino did well for Tottenham, very well for Tottenham, I wasn't convinced when he was at Paris Saint-Germain. And that's the experience that I know about him. I want to give him
Frank,
the chance.
Sorry, Frank, just go into that a little bit more detail because people may not know his time at PSG. For you, what would cause concern going forward? Where did he kind of lose that dressing room?
Well, he never got the dressing room because it's impossible to get the dressing room at Paris Saint-Germain, and it's not his fault, but he can't be judged as a fantastic coach having a success only with Tottenham. You have a success with Paris Saint-Germain like Galtier had success today, yesterday winning the title, but you do nothing. It's just have better players than anybody else, but you can't offer anything to the fans, to the world, to the media, to us, to explain why you are so different and why you are so good, because it's impossible so far to do something. You can say something about Ancelotti last year with Real Madrid, being able to get the best of the players. Arteta this year with Arsenal. But you cannot say, of course, Guardiola with Manchester City, but you cannot say that about Pochettino. So it's a big question mark for me. How is he going to resolve all the problems? And we talked about that throughout the end of the season, where we know that they have too many players, that some players will stay because they have a huge wage, and you will have the same problem. You will have 30 players where you need maybe 23, 24, 30 at the best. And what do you do with them? How do you resolve your training session details every day? Are you work that out? I don't know. I don't have the answer. It's why I'm happy to see him, but I have question marks and I want to see results.
Well, we know, we learned today that João Félix is on his way back to Atleti. Must be excited.
Oh,
nice
yeah.
dinner with Diego Simeone Absolutely. On the return. What's happened? Is he not as good as we thought he was?
I think he has proven to be a player that is unreliable. Diego Simeone pretty much told us that in the manner in which he utilized or did not utilize João Félix for that matter. I don't think he believed in João Félix as a player that he could trust. And João Félix was saying, you know what? All I need is a change of scenery. So let me go to anywhere. It happened to be Chelsea in the worst situation possible at Chelsea. And while there were moments in which he showed something, a little bit of spark, a little bit of flash, I think you can say that about his whole career, is that there's been moments, flash, sparks, that you think, ah, here it is. Mm. But it's not sustainable. And that, I think, is the problem. He has never been able to sustain success nor productivity, and you see it in the numbers. And so, therefore, is a player now that has been incredibly expensive, but not nearly as productive as we would have expected.
Has he just been playing on the wrong teams? Atleti, not the style, and Chelsea are a mess.
Yeah, I think that's a little harsh, Ali. I mean, a guy with his talent needs to play on a team that goes forward, like plays on the front foot, plays progressive football. I mean, can you say that about Diego Simeone's teams? 1,000% no.
But look how good Antoine Griezmann has done. Look how brilliant he's been in the second half of the season.
There's always an exception to the rule.
Right.
And that's absolutely what that is with Antoine Griezmann. And by the way, how long has it taken him to get back to Antoine Griezmann? How long has he been there?
Well, he was only playing a half hour every game.
Well, that's not my fault. That's
nobody's blaming you.
So don't look at me, blame me.
I'm not blaming you. It was a contract that he signed.
And trying to judge him on... I mean, anybody walking at that Chelsea team would be struggling to put any sort of consistency together. Yes, he had moments, as Ali said, but what else did you think was going to happen?
Right.
You know, he's not Messi, but he's a great player. He's just been in the wrong place for too long.
So, João Félix out the door at Chelsea. You've written an article about Christian Pulisic, maybe following him out as well, linked to Juventus for a cut price fee. How likely is this, Mark?
Well, it's likely that he's going to leave. I think he won't be one of the first out of the door. I mean, he's not had the best last couple of years, has he, Pulisic? He's had injuries. He's not had the faith of managers that have been there. And I think he was booed onto the pitch at the weekend in the last game of the season against Newcastle, so the fans have obviously made their mind up about him.
Wow.
So I think Pulisic, you know, he needs a move now. And I think what I was told is that he's been offered around quite a few clubs. I think Man United have been contacted, Newcastle, AC Milan, Galatasaray, Napoli. But I've been told that Juventus are more interested than most, and I think that they can do the deal. They're losing, I think, Cuadrado and Di Maria is out of contract this summer. So Pulisic would come in and bolster their attacking line. I think, you know, £20 million nowadays is not that much of a fee for a player that's got Champions League experience and he's got Premier League experience. And I think, you know, his wages might be an issue, but, you know, I think Pulisic to Juve is a good move. I think it suits Juventus, it suits Pulisic, suits Chelsea. And I think he needs a move, though. He needs to get away from Chelsea. It's not really worked for him at Chelsea.
Stevie, I got a question for you.
Yep.
You're putting together a team. You're the manager, right? Do you take Christian Pulisic or do you take João Félix?
Oh, I'll take João Félix over Pulisic.
Well, and my point is that Christian Pulisic is going to find that the market for him is getting tighter and tighter and tighter and smaller and smaller and smaller. And he had his multiple opportunities at Chelsea, didn't quite work out. Injuries were an issue. Chelsea became a mess. And now he's an afterthought.
See,
and Joao, he's only 24.
Yes, only 24, but it feels like he's been around forever now and never has been able to really establish himself and be a guy that you know is going to be available to you in a starting 11 or in the 18-man roster, whatever the case may be. Just not playing with any consistency, fitness an issue, and now he's way at the back of the line.
It's been disappointing, hasn't it, Frank? Pulisic's time at Chelsea.
Yeah, and while the guy was speaking and I was trying to understand why we are talking about those two players and who are considered as stars, big-time players, where they are still young and maybe haven't proved enough to be named as stars. And that's maybe the problem that we have right now. We are living in a dictature of emergency where players are named stars or after maybe one good season, which we know is not enough to be considered as a big-time player because you have to show consistency. And it doesn't help them out to be named like that because they have to prove that it can be there. And Joao Felix is a very talented player. I have to agree with Stevie in a way that the guy has something, but I have to agree with Ali that it's not sustainable what he showed in the world. So maybe he picked the wrong team, but that's his fault, you know? Don't go to Atletico Madrid if it's not your game. Don't go to Chelsea if it's not your game. And Pulisic is maybe the same. His nickname, Captain America. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's big time, Captain America. The guy's going to save the world almost. It's Christian Pulisic. He had problem with at Dortmund. He came to Chelsea and he had quite good start, but after it was so-so. I think he's still lucky, for me, very lucky to go to Juventus. If he has a possibility to go there, go there. Because I'm not sure I will take that choice if I was the chairman of Juventus. It's a big question mark about those two players, but more on Christian Pulisic than on Joao Felix for me.
A lot more reflections on what we saw on the final weekend in the Premier League. Plus, they speak German football as well on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check it out.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Oh, it's that time of year. That's like, look, Mark's smiling in this. He's enjoying this.
What?
Best 11, Mark, Pope, Stupinian, Martinez, Saliba, Trippier, De Bruyne, Rodri, Odegaard, Grealish, Haaland, Saka. Let's get the obvious ones out the way. Harry Kane scored 30 goals for Spurs, Mark.
Yeah, but having just said he'd be a really good part of Erling Haaland, I couldn't put him into my team next to Erling Haaland. I mean, look, Saka's had a brilliant season with Arsenal, superstar, and I think Grealish as well at City, he's had a great season as well. You can't pick everybody. Harry Kane will be the centre forward in the team that plays against this best team. So the second best team, he's the captain.
Oh, he prepared that. He knew that was coming.
He knew this was coming because you cannot leave Harry Kane off this team.
Yep.
And frankly, I would go as far as to say I don't know how you leave Marcus Rashford off this team either.
Okay.
But if I'm going to stick with Harry Kane for a second,
this was as impressive a season as Harry Kane has had as Spurs. And I don't care about the numbers of all of itself. It's just the, if Harry Kane were not with Spurs, what would this team have achieved this season? Where would they be without Harry Kane? He was everything to them and has been everything to them for a while, but in particular this season. I think he was as good this season as we have ever seen Harry Kane, with his playmaking ability, with his goal scoring, with his movement of the ball. Any sort of productive movement that happened in the attack for Spurs had to go through Harry Kane, and that's it, because there was nobody else playing for Spurs that could do the job.
I think everyone... Bart, you would agree Harry Kane should be there, Franco, soon?
Yes, of course, of course. But yes. As Mark said, you know, you pick Haaland, it's hard to put Kane instead of Haaland as well. He would have put Kane. He would have said, why do we don't see Haaland? That's the thing, you know. But let's talk, Stevie, about Martinez, please. I want to hear Stevie about Martinez.
Alessandro Martinez, who is in centre-back. Stevie, do you agree? No, you should be there.
Yeah, right. You know, when I opened my email and I saw the team and I saw him there, first of all, I thought, somebody's put him up to this for a laugh.
Right.
And then I realised that they hadn't. And within 5 seconds, I'd pulled out five players who I think are better.
Wait, do you want to see your list? Steve made a list.
Oh. Yeah, this took me 5 seconds.
Right.
Okay.
There we
that's
go.
That's quick thinking.
Yeah.
that's more than normal.
John Stones, Botman, Shah and Diaz. Newcastle and Man City. Absolutely the two best defences in the Premier League by a long margin.
Right.
You can't play him ahead of any of these four. And I would play Lewis Dunk ahead of him as well.
Right.
I mean, seriously, Lewis Dunk is as good with the ball at his feet. And he has to be because he's playing with Brighton. So it comes down to defensive situations. Now, who would you rather mark at a set piece? Would you rather mark Lewis Dunk, who's 6'4", or would you rather mark Martinez, who's 5'9"?
Oh, the height's back in again.
The height's back in.
It's a factor.
The size
is absolutely a factor.
Just ask if the owner or the coach of Manchester City and the coach of Manchester United, if they have the choice between Diaz and Martinez, who would they go for?
Who do they go with?
I'm pretty sure they would agree to go for Diaz, you know, whatever.
Can I Mark, you have the floor.
Right, OK. So, first of all, John Stones is playing midfield now, so you can take him off the list. So, he's not even Pep doesn't play him at centre-half. So,
he's playing midfield, yeah, right.
Yeah, well,
no, he's played two positions. And that's another reason, by the way. That's another reason you should pick him. Because not only is he playing centre-back, he's playing in midfield as well.
Pep's playing the Kanji ahead of him at centre-half. The reason I picked Martinez is because he has made his team so much better by being there. This time last season, United were an absolute mess at centre-half. They had Harry Maguire and Lindelof, Eric Bailly, Phil Jones played a couple of games. Martinez has come in and he's transformed that defence with his communication, with his tenacity, with his desire to win. And obviously, they really missed in the last 2 months of the season. So I take your point that have been defenders who've performed really well this season. But for me, where United are right now, they wouldn't be without Martinez because he's transformed that team. He's transformed the defence, the organisation he's brought. So, you know, he's had a good season. He's won the World Cup as well. So I think we give that an extra gold star.
No, it's a Premier League 11. Don't start.
All right. We won't mention how bad he was at Anfield. We won't mention that.
Our producer went through the stats, actually, Mark, to see if you had any sort of support when it comes to taking a look at how he performed to others. You don't.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So,
oh, no.
I'm not having stats. You can't have stats all the time. It's all about what you see as well, isn't it? Because listen, stats, come on. It's what you see on the pitch.
If that was your defence, we need a little bit more.
Hold on, the crickets.
I've given you my defence of Martinez. I've given you 7 different reasons why you should play. But, you know.
Lisandro Martinez wasn't even the best Manchester United defender this season.
Oh.
No. I think Luke Shaw was better than Lisandro Martinez and more important to this team than Lisandro Martinez was. So
is Mark clapping you?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
If I'd put Luke Shaw in that team, I'd have been... What's that, guys?
Okay, now, what about Rashford, though? Ali made a good point. Without Rashford, United aren't in the top four.
Yeah, but I don't know where you put Rashford in that front three. I mean, he's behind Harry Kane, so that's fifth choice. You know, listen, Marcus Rashford had a brilliant 3 months. He didn't have a brilliant season. He had a brilliant 3 or 4 months. So And when he stopped scoring goals, Man United tailed off. So I think, yes, he's out. You're gonna probably throw back at me that said that United should have sold Marcus Rashford. So it's not a vendetta against Marcus Rashford, but I do think at times he's a moments player rather than a player that will define games and dictate games. I think he has flashes in games, but I still don't think he's not in the same league as Haaland or Kane or Saka or these players. I think Rashford needs more consistency, but he's had a great 3 or 4 months. Let's see a great season.
Are you happy with Grealish, Stevie?
Personally, I would have picked Martinelli.
Oh, would you really?
Had a choice, yeah. 15 goals, no. plus what he does defensively. You can't argue with that.
I don't think Frank's
Grealish,
clapping that one.
Don't get me wrong, Grealish has played well, but he's got 5 goals.
Right.
5, in a team that has so much of the ball that it's absolutely frightening. So I'm not saying he hasn't had a good season. But I would absolutely have Martinelli in front of him.
You know that you don't have to play a 4-3-3 in this team,
yeah,
right?
Change the way you
can have Haaland and Kane up top, right?
Yeah, of course.
And to be honest,
either way, I would have him with Martinelli.
If I'm changing that left-sided player, I'd put Mo Salah in there, because I think Salah's been brilliant this season again, but he's had his ups and downs, but I still think... But again, you can only pick 3. I can't pick 13. Mm.
What about Silva?
Martinelli ahead of
you
Salah.
Like Martinelli, don't you?
I would have Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, and not Odegaard.
Thank you. Right.
In place of Odegaard, actually.
Really?
Yeah. We fell in love with Arsenal early part of the season, middle part of the season, but then when he came down to it, to the real clutch part, when you needed results, then all of a sudden you're not getting the same level of performance. And so you're getting Gundogan, who's flying with Manchester City. You're getting a high level of performance that you cannot tell me right now that Gundogan does not deserve to be in this team, or Bernardo Silva does not deserve to be in this team, if we evaluate what they were able to do over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Frank, I've got a note here that you wanted Bernardo Silva over Saka.
Well, without thinking that Saka didn't have a good season, but just for the point of Ali, you know, when you needed the most Saka or Martinelli, we didn't see them that much, where Odegaard, and I agree with Mark, had a very good season,
and
was maybe the only one surviving at front. But Silva is a hell of a player. I mean, the work that he does defensively, offensively, what he creates, and how he's able to think the game makes me think that he deserves a little bit more to be on Mark's 11. But I'm fine with Saka.
I have to disagree with Frank and Ali. You know, Arsenal didn't lose the league because Odegaard and Martinelli and Saka stopped playing. They lost the league because they couldn't defend. You know, the three games, look at the three games that they dropped points in. Mm. They scored 3, 2, and 2 in these games. So it's not about what they were doing going forward. It was about what they were doing defensively. So I think that's a little tough on Odegaard in particular.
What a lovely task
Odegaard
he's
said,
to do,
Odegaard Mark. Just said, I'm sorry, Dan, but Odegaard has said that he deserved to be there, you know.
Okay,
the only problem with Arsenal is when a Frenchman is not there at Arsenal, it's a big mess. And it's always been. It's history. That's it.
Okay, can I tee up Mark's brilliant article now?
Sure, go ahead.
There we go. Mark's written a brilliant article over on the website. There it is in all his glory. He's given us a way too early prediction. Oh, you like doing those, Right, Mark, we need you to do this. All right, just do it. Way too early predictions.
Thank you for this assignment. This sounds fun.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, now the season's over. Over the next few days, we're going to be taking a look at back at some of the teams and whether it was a successful season or not so successful season. Definitely not successful for Liverpool. We all, of course, had them finishing in the top four. Pretty much, the majority finishing in the top two. It didn't happen like that, did it? Considering this was a side that was in contention for the quadruple last year, in contention for nothing as we end the season. Stevie, how would you sum it up?
No, it's a failure. It's a failure. Yeah. Liverpool's not about being in the Europa League or the Conference League. Liverpool's about competing for the Champions League and competing for the Premier League. That's what they've been for the last five seasons, because obviously last season they weren't. That's where Liverpool's standard has to be. Not fifth or sixth or whatever it is.
Did you have a moment when you thought, we're in trouble here?
Well, pretty early.
What was it? What was it that stood out and you thought, this is...
Losing goals.
This is a different team.
Losing goals. Losing... Not just goals, but giving teams, and I mean any team in the league, not in the big games, not against the so-called better teams, but against anybody, against Southampton, against Leeds. Giving so many opportunities and so many goals away was, like, mind-blowing. Compared to a back line... which hadn't changed. It was the same players, but had changed completely as far as being together, holding a line, what it was doing, what I mean, just every single thing fell apart, including the goalkeeper, who at one stage was the best goalie in the world, who at one stage, when somebody went through one-on-one, it never even crossed my mind that he wasn't going to save it, to the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, failure, absolutely.
Of course, they made some big signs, the biggest being Darwin Nunez in the summer. Gakpo then, of course, joined after the World Cup. We asked Mark to give us his grades on how he thought they'd performed in their first season at Liverpool. He's gone for a C- for Gakpo, a D for Nunez. I'm going to go to you first.
C-?
C-.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it? That's a bit harsh. I mean,
he knocked
Nunez out of the team, so how does he end up with less than Nunez?
Well, Nunez is a D, which is
Nunez
worse.
Is, yes.
A D is A, B, C. So A is the best mark you can get. And then B, C.
You get an F.
Oopsie-daisy.
You, sir, have failed.
Whoopsie.
It's okay.
Yeah, I think that's
we're not
harsh.
Live. Oh, we are live. Oh, dear.
I think that's harsh on Gakpo.
Harsh on Gakpo? Explain why you gave him such a low mark, Mark.
Ah. I thought it was being quite good. I thought it was quite good. I mean, do you want me to give him a B or an A for the season Liverpool have had? I think a C- is pretty positive considering where they are. I think he did take a while to get his first goal, but I think he's come in and he's made a difference. But, I mean, how can you give anybody at Liverpool more than a C this season? Like you just said, Stevie, they've had a failure of a season, so he's come in and he's done okay, but he's not torn it up. So I think he'll do well next season. I think Nunez will be better next season as well, but I think, I don't know, what would you give him? B? B plus?
Right. We're still getting your head around the marking system.
Yeah. Are you okay, Stevie?
Yeah, I'll give him a B-.
A B-?
Yeah.
And what would you give Nunez?
Probably a D. Probably
what,
a D.
What happened? Because like he came in and it was all about. Yeah, he's great. He causes chaos. He's just going to get his finishing sorted. Well, but he never did.
I think Gakpo came in and you know Nunez, I don't think linked up with the other players as well as Gakpo did, which is why eventually Gakpo started and Nunez didn't. And so when you're just coming off the bench, it's harder. It's harder to produce.
Is he a waste of money?
No, absolutely not. No. No, this guy's a player. You've got to give him time.
I feel like you've said that quite a lot, though.
I mean, how long has it been? He's had one season, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we can't judge him on one season. You can't judge him on one season. And you certainly can't judge him on one season that, for Liverpool as a team, was a disaster. Mm. I think that's way too harsh.
Frank?
But I think I agree with Augie, though, D.
Right, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, you have to view different in a different manner. Nunez came at the beginning of season. Nobody saw that coming. We thought that the spirit of Liverpool will still exist, and the way the player have normally played will sustain, but he didn't, and it changed dramatically. There are no spirit. They were unplayed together. They didn't defend. No reserve. And you have that guy, young guy, coming for Portugal, and you expect the best from him. It's normal that he can sync with the rest of the team. Gakpo came where Liverpool was going a little bit better, and finished quite better than they started. And therefore, it's hard to judge. It's hard for two young players with the big pressure you have when you play for such a big club to be judged where the rest of the team is not there. But we have to judge the players who are already there before judging the player who just came and signed for the club. Because nobody exists, how do you want them to be better than the others? For me, it's impossible.
What grade do you give Salah?
Oh. Me?
That's a tester. That's a tester. You can't argue with 30 goals, really. And actually,
I wish you could see Stevie's face.
I think you have to give him a B.
Right.
You have to give him a B because we're talking about Harry Kane scoring 30 goals for Spurs.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Liverpool were as bad as Spurs for a long period of time. And he still ended up with 30 goals. So, yeah, I would give him a B.
That was a reluctant B.
A lot of
Well, it was because he's very frustrating. I find Salah very frustrating. You cannot argue with the goals he gets.
No. Nope.
But sometimes when he loses the ball in the most incredulous ways, stands on it, passes it straight to the opposition. I mean, you name it. I find it very frustrating. But then the guy will turn round and whip a ball into the top corner or smash it in off the crossbar or whatever. So, listen, if you've got a striker who scores 30 goals in a season, you've got to be happy.
Do we take it for granted, Mark, a little bit? Oh, Salah, 30 goals, yeah, that's a given.
Absolutely, I think we're doing that. It's hard to give a player a B plus or an A in the season that Liverpool have had, but, you know, Salah always delivers in the big game. You know, the main thing of a striker is they call it heavy goals. They score the big goals in the games that matters. And Salah does it against all the big teams. And I think, you know, when he goes, he will leave a massive hole in Liverpool's team. I mean, he really is a superstar. And I think that, you know, 16 assists as well. People think he's quite a selfish player. 16 assists. You know, Salah is up there with the top five Premier League players ever, I think. And I think you do take it for granted that he's so good. I mean, you look at his record, 31, 31, 23, 27. He scores goals all the time. And I think 30 goals in a season when Liverpool have been pretty poor, that is a pretty good return. So I think Salah, you never give Salah less than a B.
Did he just say top five Premier League player ever?
All time, yeah.
There you go.
I don't like Mark putting lists together, let me tell you.
That's a discussion for another day,
yes.
Ali.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Before we wrap up this review of Liverpool's season, Mr. Alexander-Arnold has got a new position.
Has he?
Everything's going to be well in the world, isn't it, going forward?
Where's he playing?
Well, he plays in the middle, doesn't he?
He's
in the middle. Got the ball in the middle now.
Well, I find it. I will find it interesting when the season starts because.
Oh, you're gonna have to wait.
Well, because it's one thing to start having a guy who plays right back, who generally stays wide and whips in those incredible balls, but who can't defend, and then all of a sudden you change his role. And no surprise, when he gets time on the ball in the middle of the park, he's picking passes, he's whipping balls again. But he was doing that in this new position when... it's a bit harsh to say it didn't matter, but it didn't really.
Oh.
Because Liverpool's season was dead. And so, for Liverpool to go on the run they did, 9 wins and 2 draws or something, everybody's like, oh, that's really good and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That's not what Liverpool is supposed to do. And you don't get pats on the back for winning games that it doesn't matter. And so, for me, it's going to be interesting to see whether Klopp continues to play him in there. Because if they start the season and he's doing this and they're getting raided down that side, as they've been doing for most of the season, then we will see whether or how long it lasts.
Mark is done. He won't last any longer now. Oh. But before you go, Mark, does that say knock on Jacob's door behind you? What does that say on the...
No. That's... that's my daughter's list. So things I'm not allowed to do when I knock on her door, or what I have to do, you know, just like basically knock on her door. Yeah, no.
So why is it there and not on her door? Just as like a proper reminder?
Because I tell you what it is, she wrote it when she was about 5 and now she's 12, and it's like, it's such a nice little list. So I've actually got a soft side to me, Dan, and it's just there to remind me.
Oh, isn't that nice? Wow. That's beautiful. What else is behind you then, Mark, before we let you go?
Do you really want to know?
Yes, no, yeah. I do, genuinely. Well, this is going to be the most interesting part of the show.
That's what you can't see. That is a Stone Roses lyric, so it's probably a bit lost on some of the guys in the panel, but it's, yeah. And that's just a list of countries that I've been to recently, this season.
That's a lot of USA.
Yeah. To be honest, let me down a little bit, Mark. Hey,
see, why do you ask the question?
Well, I thought it was going to be
what
something
did you think was going to happen?
What do you think he was going to say?
I don't know. Something better than these are the countries I went to. Thank you very much, Mark.
Yeah,
Frank is back with us on Extra Time, as always. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. It is the Europa League final on Wednesday, and the bookies cannot split them. Both Sevilla and Roma, 10-11 on Sevilla, of course, with a great record in this competition. Jose Mourinho, not a bad record either in finals. We'll, of course, be looking back at that game on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us. Meanwhile, Jude Bellingham has been named the German Player of the Year in the Bundesliga. Right decision, Ali?
Absolutely. 100%. He was outstanding for Borussia Dortmund. And, mind you, they could have used him in the final game of the season. And I know he's a young player and we shouldn't expect this from Jude Bellingham, but they were missing his presence and his leadership in moments that truly matter in that last match.
BJ Callaghan is the new interim coach for the US, stepping up to take the role, of course, as it stands, the US men, without a permanent manager. Oh, 7-0 will be shouting about that. You know they will on the next edition of Football Americas. As always, check that out. The latest show will drop on Thursday here on Plus. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We will be back, though, tomorrow for more. But fear not, if you want more from us, we do something called Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno. Frank LaBeouf is with us. Stevie Nicol. What a granddad Stevie is. Yesterday, it was yesterday. Oh, your granddaughter, yes, Stevie. What a moment.
Yes.
We should have bet. I had a yesterday bet. You'd have to take me out.
Yeah, it cost me a bit more than I expected. But
what about the memories? What about the memories?
Well, exactly.
Stevie?
That's why I don't mind.
That's
priceless.
Beautiful.
Priceless.
Exactly.
Very beautiful. And how are you, Frank? How have you been?
I've been good, thank you very much. Nothing much to say.
Okay, well, don't fill the void.
Cycling.
Excuse me. I saw you on Instagram cycling.
I know. Close to Roland Garros, so that's nice. Nice in the wood. That's
so he had shorts on, and it's then nice he had weather. Lycra like leggings under the shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it helps the knees. It's especially made for knees, to help people who have surgery. So that is.
See, Dan, you see?
I don't understand.
Yes. Second-guessing his choices.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. Can't make any jokes about that. Right. In a recent interview, Brighton's CEO said an increasing part of his job is making De Zerbi's life easier by dealing with more off-the-field issues. Does Stevie think today's management have less on their plate? And if so, is this change good for the game as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the less the manager has to do other than training, dealing with the players, dealing with the stuff on the field. I mean, you know, when I was at the Revs, and of course, previous managers in England, going back forever,
yes,
did everything.
Yeah, and you were on blood pressure pills. It was too late.
Did everything. So anything that can be taken off your plate just makes the job easier. One of the worst parts of the job was the phone ringing 24/7.
Yeah.
About players. I mean, just.
So you just had agents trying to sell you players.
Just horrendous. I was just on the phone constantly.
Yeah.
In the office, at home, anywhere it was, the phone would be ringing. I mean, it just got impossible.
What did Mariner do? Did he not help out at all?
No, he kept the boys going. He kept them lively.
But the good thing is that now you're the picture of good health.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah.
Blossoming.
Blood pressure's absolutely spot on.
Exactly.
Thriving.
His hair seems quite longer than normal.
I'm flying.
Yeah, very much so.
Flying.
Yes, days.
As soon as I sort my alphabet out, I'll be all right.
Say again?
As soon as I sort my alphabet out.
The grading system.
Yep. I catch that. Dan, during your many years being a smarty pants, who has come the closest to punching you in the face? And for what comment?
Mm. It would have to be me.
I don't think so.
I've been close to giving you a slap. I wouldn't punch you.
Really?
I've been close a couple of times.
Yeah, you have crossed the line a couple of times. A
couple of times.
Intimidated me.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Hey, don't admit to that, Steve. Yeah.
No, we did it a long time ago with Edwards, remember? And I said to you, are you trying to make me...
Ah, yes. Bleep?
I remember
that. Yeah,
I do. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
I know.
That was because... That was when you said that, like, Daniel Sturridge wasn't going to play. Was that was the incident, wasn't it?
I don't remember what it was about. I just remember...
And then you were like, I spoke to someone in Liverpool, and I went, who did you speak to?
Oh, that's right.
And then you just lost it because you just heard it on the radio or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you got angry, and Craig obviously loved it all. Yeah. Was there going to you?
From your perspective, what is the answer to the question?
I don't know. I feel like it's all friendly.
See, Dan's funny because Dan's like, he's like watching. If a camera crew followed Dan around, right, and you could get in Dan's head. Yes. Somebody will say something, and he's got this little syringe that he can just jab you with. He'll come up with some comment, some little smart.
Yeah,
like,
it's not just here; it's everywhere in life.
It's everywhere you are.
Yeah, yeah. But then
the biggest, the best bit to watch would be how your brain does yes or no. Because I'm sure there's thousands of times you pull back and you don't say what you're going to say.
Yes, I think so.
I'd love to see how
but
it
then,
works.
But then, when I do upset, like, I've upset people who've taken me aside before and said, don't do that again.
Right.
And I feel really bad, you know, because I never meant to.
Yeah, but you just can't help yourself.
I don't want to upset anyone,
no,
do I?
But you can't help yourself.
So is that all it takes to pull your aside to say you don't do that again?
Yeah.
That's it?
Definitely, because I never want to feel like I'm upsetting or hurting anyone, do I?
Good to know.
It's all fun, isn't it, Frank? It's all in good taste.
Oh, it's all fun. It is.
And you know how much I love you. And I just texted you, say, don't do that anymore.
Or I kill you.
It was on something on the internet. But you know that I love you. And you know, I know what you're doing. I know that you have to hold the show and you do it very well. I have to congratulate you because the time maybe for that. And I think
stuff.
You're doing great, you know. And I like
much.
It. And you asked the question to stick people, but it's fine. It's fine. So far, so good.
Good. Just confirm, this isn't my last show, and I'm not ill. not that we know of.
Doesn't Dan do a wonderful job? Wonderful.
When he goes and reads his DM.
Marvelous.
Yes. Yeah. Let's get
that
Denise
was
on the
very
phone.
Good. Bye-bye, Dan. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, this is weird. Right. When Erik ten Hag became the manager of United, he established strict rules that some of you mocked.
Oh.
But do you think it was something that the team needed after having Ollie and Radnick as coaches, seeing as he has had to bench some players for breaking the rules in the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, when you set rules, you've got to set sensible rules. And I remember the one we mocked. The one we mocked was if you were late and we were laughing because if you were taking three other guys in a car, if you were late for training, you wouldn't play at the weekend.
Yes.
and we mocked it because if there's three other guys in the car and you're late, so the four guys are not going to play the weekend.
Right, yes.
So when you set a rule like that, then you deserve to get mocked because you can't do it.
Right.
So don't set rules that you can't follow through with. That's what we're mocking. But as far as the majority of them, absolutely, yes, you need rules. Players need to know where the line is, and if they cross it, then they get what they deserve.
Do players need a list of rules?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think so. But beyond all the rules that he may have come up with and beyond all the guidelines that in terms of behavior and whatever is it that Manchester United had to do, Manchester United players, the most important thing that he did was deal with the Ronaldo situation.
Right.
See, you can have all the rules, but you don't buy credibility in the locker room with just having rules. You buy credibility by making tough decisions. That was a tough decision. He handled it as well as he possibly could. That buys some credibility inside that locker room. And then from then on, you follow the rules, knowing full well who's in charge. This guy is in charge. Whatever you may think of the rules, we have to follow them.
How did you deal with rules back in the day, Frank?
I had no problem. It happened that I arrived late and we had to pay a fee. It wasn't like we couldn't play. But I always called, I'm always on time, so when something like that happened, I always called somebody, say, I'm very sorry, I had a problem with the kids or with the car, whatever it was. And it was always the truth. But I had no problems, except when it was stupid rules. Like, let's say, like, one day, yeah, when I was very young, I was 20 years old, I was living next to the hotel. And we had to sleep at the hotel in the afternoon, where my bed was 10 times better than the hotel bed. And so I went to my house, you know, well, my apartment, and it was like, really, 10 yards away from the hotel. And the coach caught me and he said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to sleep and have a nap in my apartment. He said, no, you sleep there. I said, no, I don't want. And I was 20 years old and he put me out and I thought it was stupid because I was making the right decision. And that's something that can upset me a lot, you know. Otherwise, no, we have to realize that we are not alone. And there are rules because we are too many. So you have to stick to the rules.
Reminds me of your two beer limit.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. You lose, you know, Ali's saying about the credibility that he gained with the Ronaldo situation.
Yeah.
So when you have stupid rules like Frank, the one Frank talking about.
Yeah.
And you have stupid rules like us when we went pre-season and the manager said, you can have two beers and that's it. And they gave us two chitties for the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking for trouble. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
For all, in your playing days, did you ever have a sponsorship deal for a product? How'd that go, and was it something you actually used?
You had sponsors, didn't you say?
Yeah, but not, yeah, football stuff though, like boots and bin guards and stuff.
Yeah. But did you use them?
Aye.
Right.
Well, you had to use them.
Well, no, because there's been examples of players who've been sponsored by, say, Nike, but preferred Adidas shoes.
Well, see, here's. Aye. No, I know what you're getting at now. So, for the longest time, myself and a lot of other players would get their boots doctored. So what you would do is, I used to wear Pumas.
Right.
But then I got a deal with High Tech to wear their boots. But the High Tech boots at the time were garbage. They were really tough. You know, they weren't soft. And so what I would do is, I would get the kids to take the boots to the cobblers and I'd get them to take the Puma boots, take all the stripes off the Puma boots and take all the stripes and stuff off the High Tech boot and put it on the Puma boot. So that when I was playing, I was actually wearing Pumas, but they looked like High Techs.
Wow.
No, that was great. And loads of people did it for a couple of years. But then one of the journalists or one of the photographers who take thousands of pictures.
Yes.
There was a picture of somebody in the back of the major news of the world, major Sunday newspaper from one of the big games the day before.
Yep.
And somebody's scoring a goal and their boots up like that. And they're Puma boots, but they've got Adidas soles. And so all the manufacturers, everybody caught on and went, hold on a minute. So then everybody's getting messages from the manufacturers going, right, I'm just telling you now, if we catch your doctor in your boots, see you later.
So we're talking about boots, you have to tell your boot story now.
Which one?
The one where you ask the apprentice to break them in.
Oh, when I left the paper in them?
Yes.
That's the punchline, Stevie.
Yeah.
So you ask him to wear them in because they're really tight?
I put them on and I was like, oh my God, tight. So I shouted Billy. Billy's actually one of Sean Dicey's assistants.
Oh, really?
Big Billy, aye. I went, Billy, these things are killing me. I said, do us a favour, can you wear them next couple of days and break them in for me? And he went, aye. So he goes away. And he come back about 3 minutes later as we were getting on the bus. He went, Stevie, I'm like, what? And of course, he couldn't have done it on the quiet. He had to do it when all the lads were
sitting. Yeah, of course, well played.
And he went, you know those boots? I went, yeah. He went, you left the paper in them. Of course, all the lads went, ah! He's standing there taking the paper out the toes.
Oh, brilliant. I love it.
See, Frank is trying to understand, what do you mean you left the paper in? Yeah, that's right. New shoes, he left the paper in.
Oh, dear. Frank, you've been sponsored by lots of different things over the years.
I had a sponsorship with the Union of the Butchers in France, you know, because everybody, well, you know that my name is Leboeuf. Leboeuf means the beef of the ox. And I had a big deal with the Union of all the butchers in France. So, and I had to shoot an advertising for French television. And you had a plate with a beef, you know, a roast beef in the middle of it, you know, and you could hear the people, somebody saying, well, Le Boeuf is tender, Le Boeuf is nice, Le Boeuf. And you could see my face suddenly say, oh, well, nobody said that before to me. And they got me lots of money for that stupid thing. But that was fun. Oh. That was really fun.
Oh, I'd like to see that. That's not bad, is it, Frank?
Le Boeuf is tender.
Ali?
Yeah, well, obviously the shoes and gear and all that stuff. One of the first meetings or first times that I was called up to the national team, we were actually having a meeting in terms of bonuses and payments and things and such. And obviously, I'm just a young guy kind of sitting in the back of the room.
Yes.
Doing whatever I'm told at that time. And we happened to be sponsored by a home appliance store, local home appliance store. And the big argument between the older guys in the national team was that some guy wanted a washer and the other guy wanted a dryer and the other one wanted a TV. And it was like, what? And they couldn't come to an agreement as to what everybody was gonna get. Washer, dryer, whatever. And so everybody started putting their orders and nobody got anything.
Really?
Nobody got anything. Because we could never agree, or this guy, not me, I didn't have a say in the matter. We could never agree as to what is it that we were going to get. But it was like a real heated discussion. After we had our pregame meal and pregame meeting, it was a real discussion as to whether we're going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, and whatever the case may have been.
You think back to your sponsor, like those iconic Liverpool shirts, what you had, Crown Paints?
Yeah.
You get free paint?
Aye.
Good, nice.
Oh, yeah, well, as usual, somebody always spoils it.
Right.
Well, because when I say, so if you're painting your living room or your dining room or whatever, so it's two or three pots of paint, isn't it?
Nice.
So, of course, you would do that.
Yep.
So Paul Walsh bought a new house.
Yes.
And it cost about 10 grand worth of paint.
A minute.
And so they decided that there was going to be a limit on the squad.
Oh.
So everybody got nailed down because
of Paul Walsh.
Because of Paul Walsh.
And it's painting ways.
He took all the paint.
Candy? What was that? Candy's like electronics,
like
fridge freezers, televisions, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, we've got
perfect.
That. Got
and
the washers and dryers and stuff.
Yeah, we've got that. Surely the best one, Carlsberg.
Carlsberg, honestly, absolutely fantastic.
How do you know,
I had a regular supply.
Yes.
They used to deliver them to the ground.
God, I'm surprised they're still in business.
Oh, no, yeah. Used to deliver them to the ground. So every Friday, I'd be like that.
Wow.
I'd go up and see the girl and say, can I have a couple of crates? She'd be like, absolutely, help yourself.
Fantastic, Stevie.
Well, filling up the mortar.
You know, early days MLS, we were... our shirt with the Galaxy had Budweiser, and I think just about every MLS team had Budweiser as a sponsor. Never saw a can of beer. Not that matters to me, just out of principle.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of Chelsea when you... Was it Commodore? Was Commodore your sponsor, Frank?
No, that was... Commodore was before me. We had Coors, a beer sponsor, the first year, but we never got anything. But with the national team, we had... a picture, you know, the first picture in August or September, you had to be in those pictures because you had all the gifts from the sponsor, and the biggest one was Air France. And you had 10 flights, return flights, domestic ones. And with Marcel Desailly, we're laughing because you couldn't miss that game. That game is important, not because of the game, but because of the pitcher, because you get all the gifts. But that was crazy.
Fantastic.
That was crazy.
Good.
We had everything.
10 free flights is perfect. Lovely. Okay. Where are we? For all, when you knew you were changing clubs in the off-season, what were the major challenges in finding the right club for your career and balancing that would mean for the family? How much is the whole package you're thinking of? Like, you're slightly different. Did you have a choice?
Not really. You get traded.
Yeah.
Then you have to pick up and go. But I would say the toughest one was we were with the San Jose Earthquakes. We had a really good season. It was a really good team. But then they moved the whole franchise in the middle of the offseason to Houston. And so we all had our housing set up in San Jose.
Yeah.
And now we had to pack up the whole team and now had to move to Houston. And it all had to happen in about 5 weeks, 6 weeks time before you start the new season. And it's, in my case, I wasn't by myself in the world. It's, you know, my wife and kids, and it becomes a really challenging thing to try to, okay, we got to pack up stuff here, but then we, on a weekend, we have to go to Houston, and in a weekend, you have to find a house. Now, look, I don't know how it is for everybody out there, but for me and my lovely wife, a weekend to find a house is not enough.
I think you could do it in a weekend.
I can do it.
Yes, I think
I can do it in a day. But I don't make this decision, you see? And so when he says balancing family life, yes, it's difficult because, again, it's the realization that this is a very individual thing that you're pursuing your dream, right?
Yes, yep.
But you have to be mindful of who you're affecting with pursuing your dream. And so you try to make the best decision so that the family life is not affected and that when you come home, there is peace of mind, that there isn't trouble, that there isn't tension, and that she feels good about the choices that we have made. And by the way, this is a decision that I had to make without any of my doing. This was something, a decision that was made well above my head, and yet we all had to move.
You know, all our consequences. Frank?
Well, there is two things that you have to think when you move is, because you know that if the wife is happy, you know, you will have resolved one problem in your installments and in your settlement. And finding a house and finding the right school, because I was a father when I was 20, 21. And we had two kids, you know, when we were very young. So we had to sort the school out also for the kids. So making sure that we had a French school or a very good school next to us. But it's mainly when I signed to Qatar, before signing Qatar, I asked the club before signing to come with my ex-wife, to see if she would love the country and if she would feel okay to live in a country like Qatar. And she came and she liked it, so I signed for the club. But I always made sure that the family was very happy. I think that's the main target that you have to have. Otherwise, it's going to be a nightmare very quickly.
All my moves were career moves.
Right.
And the only thing that we said, Ellen and I, was that if I move, we all go.
Sure.
Regardless. We stayed together, me, Ellen, and the two kids. We stayed together as a unit because regardless of what happens, whether it goes well or whether it doesn't, if we've got our own wee unit, then we'll be all right.
Yeah.
And as I said, they were all career moves. My move from Liverpool to Notts County was moving down two leagues.
Yes.
But it was for the future. I did it because I was getting a coaching job and I was still playing at the time. Then the move from Nottingham to Sheffield again was about getting back into the Premier League, obviously more money. And then, of course, the big one coming here again was about a career move for, you know, to coach over here.
And now look where that move brought you, Stevie.
Look where I've ended up. I mean, it just goes to prove it doesn't always end up well. I've ended up next time.
On that note, That was very interesting. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I enjoyed that. Especially Frank's compliments of me.
Yeah.
ESPN FC will be back on your screens, of course. It's the Europa League final tomorrow.
What a beauty.
Oh, we will be reflecting on that clash between Sevilla and Roma. Be sure to join us.